Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we are continuing to talk about the question, what is true religion, from Galatians 6, 13 through 15. The Apostle Paul has spent nearly the entire book of the Galatians explaining what's wrong with the Judaizers and why the form of Christianity, which they represent, is really false religion. And he summarizes two of the characteristics of false religion in verse 13 when he shows that false religion, number one, encourages hypocrisy, and number two, encourages pride. And if you see evidence of that, then you can recognize something's wrong. It may not tell you in detail what is wrong, but something's wrong. That's not true Christianity, because true Christianity promotes the opposite of hypocrisy. It promotes sincerity. True Christianity promotes the opposite of pride. It promotes humility. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us in the following verses. It's verse 13 that tells us about the hypocrisy and pride when he says, "For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they act like they do. They brag that they do. They pretend that they do. They're trying to get you to be circumcised on the basis that they keep the law and that you ought to keep it with them, but not even those who are circumcised keep the law. They're hypocrites. And they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. They are filled with pride and they want to continue to feed their pride. So that's false religion. It encourages hypocrisy. It encourages pride. But what is the characteristic of true religion? Well, there are two characteristics that he gives here of true religion in the biblical sense. And they are, number one, that true religion promotes humility. That's not surprising, is it? And number two, that true religion requires divine power. The first is verse 14, the second is verse 15. Verse 14 says, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." And then in verse 15 he says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation." In other words, the opposite of circumcision is not really non-circumcision. That's not the point, either one. The opposite of the false teaching of baptismal regeneration is not... What is the opposite of baptismal regeneration? We boast in non-baptismal regeneration. I've known people who've thrown out baptism altogether. Here's people who teach baptismal regeneration. That's wrong. So we just won't be baptized. Some people teach that the Lord's Supper is efficacious to salvation. Well, that's wrong. So we just won't observe the Lord's Supper. Some people teach that church membership is necessary for salvation. That's wrong. So we just won't observe church membership and so forth. No, that's not the way it works. So, true religion, number one, promotes humility. Again, verse 14, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." It promotes humility because it forbids human boasting. God forbid that I should boast. Boast. Boast in fleshly accomplishments. There's really nothing of self to boast about in biblical Christianity. Now, there's plenty to boast about in various aberrations of biblical Christianity, but in true biblical Christianity, there's nothing to boast about. We have in our day the cult of self-esteem, and that exalts strength and beauty and intellect and money and social standing, and a lot of people are attracted to that kind of misrepresentation of Christianity. I know people who boast in their gifts of the Spirit, and the fact that they are a Spirit-filled Christian, unlike some other people that they look down their nose at who are not Spirit-filled Christians. But I am a Spirit-filled Christian. It fills them with pride and causes them to boast. I can tell you there's something wrong with that. Whether I understand the doctrinal errors and the mistaken theology behind that or not, I can tell you one thing, something's wrong with that. That's not biblical Christianity. That's not Christ-likeness, and on and on it goes. Some people are attracted to the cult of the health and wealth gospel and are impressed with Christians who seem to be wealthy and attribute their wealth to God's material blessing and prosperity in their life. And that's a form of boasting. Look what I've got. Look what my relationship with God has gotten me. It's gotten me where I am financially. And if you were more spiritual, it would get you there too. No. You haven't read your Bible properly and carefully. You haven't studied it. You don't understand what true Christianity is. God does have some children who are wealthy by His design. God has many of His children who are poor also by His design. And the poor ones are no less spiritual than the rich ones, or vice versa. It only has to do with where God has placed us in life, where He wants us to serve Him. If God didn't have any wealthy people, then who would be a witness for Christ in the wealthy neighborhoods? If God didn't have any poor people, then who would be a witness for Christ in the poor neighborhoods? You say, well, we wealthy, blessed Christians, we'll just go down to the poor neighborhoods and witness to them and lift them out of their poverty. Not very successfully, you won't. They're not going to be impressed with your Mercedes-Benz and fine clothes and jewelry when you go down there to witness to them. They're going to be turned off by that. The people who are going to witness to them best are the people who live in their neighborhood, live as they do, their friends and neighbors who live out genuine Christianity before them day by day in similar circumstances. Those are the ones who are going to effectively witness for them. And so God is going to have some of His people in every station and strata of life, and it's got nothing to do with which ones He is most pleased with, and He gives them the most money, and the other ones He's less pleased with, He gives them the less money. I want to tell you, the Bible teaches us that there are more dangers and temptations with added wealth. If God does bless you with additional wealth, you better be careful, or you are going to become very carnal, very shallow, very, very hypocritical, very, very insensitive to spiritual things, because you will get sucked into materialism and begin to value that more than you value your relationship with the Lord if you're not very, 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 very careful. It's an additional temptation. It's an additional challenge to true spiritual Christianity. But I know some wealthy people who are very godly people. It is possible. And I know some poor people who are very godly people. That's possible too. And I know some in between who are very godly people. And then I know some in all of those stratas that are frankly not very mature as Christians. Some who are poor, some who are in the middle, and some who are wealthy. And though they may be Christians and probably are, they are very immature. And it's got nothing to do with your spirituality, whether you are wealthy or poor or whatever. God doesn't distribute His material blessings on the basis of your godliness. He distributes them, I say again, the basis of what is His purpose for your life. What kind of of servant of his do you want him, does he want you to be? Where does he want you to serve? What people in life does he want you to come into contact with and to influence for Christ? It's really as simple as that. But I tell you what, that sounds crazy to many people today. They have imbibed so much of this health and wealth philosophy that if you please the Lord, he's going to bless you materially. And if you are materially blessed, it must be that you have been pleasing the Lord. And if you aren't materially blessed, then you must be displeasing the Lord in some way. And so you're going to have to do something to change that. And generally, what you have to do to change that is start sending more contributions to whichever man is you are listening to that's teaching you this stuff. And if you'll do that, then God will bless you more. And what nonsense. Utter nonsense. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. True religion promotes humility because it forbids human boasting. True religion promotes humility because it embraces humbling truth. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross. Now, the cross has become almost glamorized to us because we're so far removed from what that cross really was. We don't have executions by crucifixion in our day. But on the basic human level, that cross meant shame and pain and humiliation. Paul said, I'm going to boast in that. I'm going to boast in nothing except in the cross of Christ, in the shame, the pain, and the humiliation that that cross represents. I think, actually, what we're learning about the Judaizers in the book of Galatians, these false teachers, is that they were actually ashamed of the cross. They probably didn't say so, but they were ashamed in that humiliation, the idea that their Savior, that the person that they worshipped, was executed in public shame upon a Roman cross. Boy, that went against the grain of their Jewish pride. And it did Paul too, earlier. That's why it took him quite a while before he surrendered to Christ. Because he was a proud Pharisee, and he wasn't about to be the follower of a criminal who had been executed upon the cross of a Gentile overlord. That went against his Jewish pride. But when he was humbled, then he could boast in the cross of Christ. Of course, on the spiritual level, there's even more humiliation involved in the cross. The cross speaks of human unworthiness. The cross speaks of human inability. The cross speaks of human sin, all that made the cross necessary. Why did Jesus have to die upon the cross? Because we aren't good enough in ourselves to have a relationship with God. That cross, as the songwriter said, pours contempt on all my pride. The cross is an embarrassment to those who believe in the innate goodness of man, but oh, it is beautiful to those who understand their sinful condition and what Christ did to address their guilt and condemnation upon the cross. That shame and pain and humiliation ought to have been mine, and he took it in my place. And that shows me how unworthy I am, except in the worthiness of Christ. And so I boast only in the cross of Christ. May that be true of all of us. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.